Hey, do you know who Boy George is, Landry?
No.
You don't? My man, I feel old. Yesterday, Lance McCullers is in here, and he didn't know what Woodstock was. And
ooh, Lance
didn't know what Woodstock the Musical Festival was. And
wow.
I don't think this is a scary thing, though. Like, that makes you feel a little bit old. But he didn't know about Woodstock 2 either. Like he knew nothing about the Woodstock franchise at
That's
all.
That's history.
Yeah. Credit Karma. My advice to Credit Karma is that I think Boy George is probably pretty hard up for money. If he still owns the rights to that, they can probably get it for a relatively good price. They need to start making that part of their jingle. It's an earworm, this Karma Chameleon.
Were you Woodstock?
What's that?
I was
Woodstock 2. I watched it on television. It was nonstop coverage on MTV.
Was that the one with corn in them?
What's that?
Did you see it? There was one that went real bad in the 90s. Where there were fires.
Was that
two? It was Woodstock 2.
Disaster. Limp Bizkit was up there. All the like corn, Kid Rock. It was like during that era. It was rough.
Well, yeah, it was because the original Woodstock was all about peace and love and everything. And the second Woodstock was about like hard thrash rap rock and charging $10 for water in the middle of a heat wave.
That was the drama too. The water was too expensive.
It was not peace and love. It was Kid Rock and yeah.
By the way, speaking of that, did you know that they up beer prices during the playoffs at Rockets games?
I did not know that.
How much did you pay last night?
It was like $10.50.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, they said they upped it a little bit just for playoffs.
$10.50 for a 16-ouncer?
Yeah, for like a Miller Lite aluminum pint.
Yeah.
Hot take. Why don't they have a Woodstock now? Let's bring it back. Woodstock 3.
It's hard to put these music festivals together.
Is it? I feel like they have these big ones.
Well, they
all
have
over
a lot. Maybe that's what it is. It's you're in competition with all these other festivals all over.
Isn't the idea of a Woodstock 3 better than like Coachella? No.
Well, yeah, probably. I don't know. Like, there's a lot of things though. Like, why don't you go do it yourself?
Because
some organizer out there doesn't feel like doing it. I guess
there's nobody less equipped to do anything in this country than I am to put on a music festival.
The guy that
it would be a disgrace.
The guy that founded Burning Man.
Put together your opening
away.
Act, Mike. I just want to hear the Mike Meltzer. I want to hear like opening three act concerts.
Mike Meltzer would take the soundtracks from various. ensemble films. What are the kinds of movies you like?
Valentine's Day.
Anything that's named after a holiday and has 10 different stars in it he likes. Go ahead and look up the soundtrack to Valentine's Day, the movie.
Yeah. And find who's
or
doing
that. Or some people would call
opening
Valentine's
act.
Day. I want to have a party for nobody except our listeners who call it Valentine's Day.
This would definitely be on his list right here.
We'd bring Darius
Rucker
in.
This is his jam, dude.
What is it about What is it about this song in Meltzer?
He played it like 46 times when me, him, and Paul went on a road trip.
By the way,
why'd you play it so much?
It's his go-to.
Well, no, is this your breakup song?
No. It was just that it happened to be, you know, when you plug in your, see now, you know what you would have heard if you were in my car now? You would hear Arian Foster like nonstop.
Are you listening to his album?
Well, it's not even that actually. It's the weirdest thing ever because people can relate to this. So all the stuff I have downloaded, the first one is an Arian Foster commercial from the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Oh.
So when I first plug in my phone, the first thing I hear like 90% of the time at 5 in the morning is Arian Foster in a commercial like 2 years ago. So I hear him basically every morning and every single day.
I'm going to put this out into the ether. Anybody who listens who knows Arian, or if Arian doesn't listen to sports radio, but Arian's new album is out. I hesitate to recommend it just because I don't want to somehow like give it less cred or something, because I really enjoy it. But I'm afraid that people will be like, oh, Seth Payne likes it. It must be lame. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? But I really like it. Like, I've been listening to it a lot. But it's hard to find. If you search Arian Foster on Apple Music, it doesn't pop up right away.
Because of the names?
Yeah,
because
his rap name is Bobby Fino. And so it was harder to find than it should have been.
Okay.
So whoever's out there, tell Arian that whoever's doing this stuff for him has to optimize the searching on Apple Music.
We have a giveaway right now. By the way, Rockets obviously lose last night against the Utah Jazz. Coming up at the top of the hour, after they lost by 8 last night, Landry has a suggestion coming up at the top of the hour. Should Mike D'Antoni pull the trigger on this? We'll discuss coming up in 15 minutes. Right now, it is National Concert Week. You can win a pair of tickets to see Ghost at the Revenge Music Center on May 8th. You can get your hands on tickets to this show and many other shows. $20 all-in tickets now through May 8th at ncw.livenation.com. Real simple question on the contest line. Where is Ghost from? 832-430-2946.
Ghost?
Yes, Ghost. Where are they from? 832-430-2946. So, Seth, I was perusing ESPN.com before the Rockets game yesterday, and they did a whole story about NFL executives weighing in on the drafts every team had. And so I thought, okay, this will provide me with something good to talk about on the air. These are people who actually work in the NFL, and the Texans have a draft to where obviously no first-round pick, no second-round pick. So I want to see what these guys think. Given limited resources, what do they think that Brian Gain did? Like, how do they think he did? Here's what I got. This is legit. Nobody can even call this show and bring up a dumber point than what this person. This is
NFL.
This is incredible.
Now, to be fair,
yes.
This is an NFL executive.
This
could be like the assistant to the traveling secretary or something.
Yes.
But to be fair to this dullard, who I hope doesn't have actually a position of influence, this is what he said.
This is what he said. Selecting Duke Ejiofor and Stanford outside linebacker Peter Columbia in the sixth round caught the attention of one executive. Quote, I know it was only the sixth round, but the two edge players they took, that was interesting because that didn't seem like a big need, and I thought Whitney Mercilus could be a cap casualty at some point, the executive said. Depending on how these guys do in camp, that'll be interesting to watch, maybe on the final cuts. Mercilus' production has dropped, and his injuries are a big question. It could be moot if Ejiofor gets hurt, but not if he flashes in camp and they fall in love with him.
Right.
That is ridiculous.
No, this is where you need to break this down as to how stupid it was. Because even somebody could call in and make an argument about Mercilus, and I'm a, you know, we could talk about that. I think sometimes his pass rushing skills are overstated. His real strength is that I think he's a versatile player, and that you can play him off the line, you can play him on, you can do a lot of stuff with him. Without Mercilus out there, you lose a whole lot at outside linebacker in terms of guys who can, like, Mercilus in coverage versus Jadeveon Clowney in coverage is just night and day. So you lose a lot if you don't have Whitney Mercilus. But aside from all of that, even if Whitney Mercilus were a guy that you wanted to cut for cap savings, to say that they didn't need help at outside linebacker to draft in the sixth or seventh round, they don't have
any
backups they feel good about.
Yes.
They're trying to find a backup outside linebacker. Does this guy know that Ufamba Kamalu weighs 290 pounds? He's a defensive end. Like, not even a, he looks, I thought he, the first time I saw Ufamba Kamalu, I thought he was a defensive tackle.
Yes.
And he's playing outside linebacker. So in terms of like actual pure outside linebackers in a 3-4, you have very few guys. Brennan Scarlett shows flashes, but he's really at this point kind of a runaround guy. Like, he runs around and makes plays, but he gets taken advantage of other times. So there's a glimmer of something there, but he's certainly not. So you're going to say that take somebody in the sixth or seventh round when you don't have a single backup outside linebacker you feel good about right now. And to say they didn't have a need for it, that this guy needs to get fired. They need to track down
this guy
and find out who it is and fire him.
Mike Sando wrote this story. Whoever he talked to, this guy, this is so dumb. This is so dumb that anybody holding this kind of opinion should not be allowed to work in the NFL. I mean, unless I'm totally missing something here, which I don't think I am. This guy thought Whitney Mercilus was going to be a cap casualty. Whitney Mercilus, is one of his best features is his contract.
Yeah.
He has a great contract.
That's
that
why
you have to credit Rick Smith for.
It's annoying that they keep bringing him up in terms of, well, Barnwell keeps mentioning him as a guy who could potentially get traded.
But at least Barnwell in that sees value in Whitney Mercilus.
Now, this is the thing. The Texans find themselves in really good caps.
That's the other part.
They have $35 million. I know they have $35 million in cap space right now. They're in no hurry or pressure to do anything other than Jadeveon Clowney. They'll probably take care of him this offseason. That's going to take a little chunk out of that.
Yep.
But they'll still have at least $25 million in cap space. It's not a big deal. So they're like Whitney Mercilus, they would save, I think, almost $4 million, $3.8 million by cutting him. Who would they cut if they were in tough cap shape?
Well, Kareem Jackson.
Yeah.
Jeff Allen.
Because Kareem Jackson, Kareem Jackson, they'd save $6.7 million
The easiest one would be Jeff Allen.
Yeah.
Because now, since they signed Fulton and Kelametse, you have those guys on the interior. They filled up those spots. And Jeff Allen's sort of here, I think. I think Jeff Allen's basically here just in case.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why he's here. But he would be the easiest cut on this football team.
Lamar Miller has a $4.7 million. You'd save $4.7 million if you cut him. The problem is that you don't have, even if Lamar Miller is a disappointment in terms of his overall contract, I don't think there's a single person that replaces his entire skill set out there.
Agreed.
And it's not going to be this year. I don't, and that's where it's nice to have that cap space. Like, If you were up against it, Lamar Miller might be a hard decision you'd have to make and say, all right, well, we're just going to have to get by with a third rounder or whoever we can take, and then you're going to, and that's going to affect who you draft in the third round instead of addressing needs in the fifth round or sixth round, then you're taking one more running back maybe earlier than you wanted to. This is the value of cap space, and that's where I get, you and I don't see eye to eye on this a lot of times. I just, whenever you have a chance to save money, like with the Osweiler trade or what have you, if you can get to the point where you're not making decisions based solely on the cap, I think that's a good place to be.
I can
see
that.
And that's where they are right now.
The other part that's stupid about this quote this executive had about Mercilus is he said, Mercilus' production has dropped and his injuries are a big question. How are they a big question? He tore his pec. That's the simplest injury you can have. I mean, Mercilus would have been cleared to practice like a month or two ago. What does he mean the injuries are a question? The injuries are a question for Watt. The injuries are a question for other guys on this defense.
Yeah.
And there's obviously, you know, a somewhat lengthy list. How are injuries a question for Whitney Mercilus?
Well, he's played, I mean, until last year, he'd never missed more than one game in a season. Over the course of his first five seasons, he missed a total of two games.
The opinion is so bad, I almost wonder if he was thinking about a different player.
He might have been. Maybe he combined Whitney Mercilus and Jadeveon Clowney in his mind somehow. Like he thought about, he added Jadeveon's injuries in his first couple years to Whitney Mercilus's health status. And then also, but then I don't know.
I wanted to get some good insight here.
But this is a problem that you find too. It depends on who they're talking to. Sometimes you give too much credit to somebody just for being an executive. If they're an executive, but they're not somebody that's actually watching a whole bunch of film or anything, they're just going to throw something out to Sandoz so they can call in a favor later on or something.
It was ridiculous.
I heard the Andrew Brandt and his Business of Sports podcast. I heard some little parts of that where he was talking to Baker Mayfield's agent. And I think
Jack Mills,
I didn't realize this. Jack Mills, Baker Mayfield's agent, he's 80 years old.
Oh, really?
80. So he was the one that said that he claimed that the Patriots were going to try to trade up to number two overall.
Yep.
And the key thing there is Ross Tucker brought this up. He thought, like, all right, what if the Patriots are just telling old Jack Mills that to just so they can get an interview with Baker Mayfield? So they figure there's a chance he'll go to the Jets. They want to interview him, get to know him, the psychology, all of that stuff. And that Jack Mills wouldn't grant that interview until the Patriots had acquired that second first round pick.
So they could actually
Cooks, Brandon Cooks. So yeah, then it became viable that they could conceivably trade up.
Seems like a stretch, but I'm not surprised Ross would throw it out there.
The other thing too was that Mills seemed convinced that the Jets actually had Baker Mayfield as their. I think it was Mills that said that. There are reports that the Jets actually liked Baker Mayfield better than Darnold or Rosen.
It's not, again, that's not the craziest thing I've heard. I think the Jets were trading up for Mayfield and they were shocked that Darnold was on the board.
Yeah.
I don't think that what Mills' contention is crazy. So I'm not gonna argue against him on that. Top of the hour. Is there one move Mike D'Antoni needs to make to shake up this series? We evaluate a Boomer Esiason CBS Sports Minute in 60 seconds.